Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And welcome in. It's a Monday edition, which means another week here on the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us. We do this every day, 11 o'clock. You can often catch the replay in the 3 o'clock hour here on the Big X. Of course, podcast available, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. And you can search the Hoosier Report on Apple Podcasts and find us there as well. So a number of ways to listen. Welcome in. A lot to get to. To start this week, some big news on a baseball front. Chris Lemonis taking the Mississippi State baseball job. He'll leave Indiana. That came out late into the evening yesterday. Kind of a little bit of a surprise. Mississippi State, obviously, a big player in college baseball. So we'll talk some about that. Also, big team camp over the weekend. I was there for a handful of games on Saturday and Sunday. A lot of locals there. Silver Creek, New Albany, Jeffersonville. They all played in the two-day event, and a lot of other great players from the state of Indiana and beyond. Assembly Hall's floor was one of the, six floors being used for the event to play games on. You had games at Assembly Hall. You had games at Cook Hall with two courts there, and you had games at Bloomington South High School with two courts there as well. And I talked some about this last week, but if you look at the teams there, you can easily see that the coaching staff and director of basketball operations, who I guess effectively is in charge of the event, did a really good job targeting players and teams to get some really notable people on campus, some very early in their high school careers. And there were actually some new names that emerged from over the weekend of some young guys to pay attention to this month and I'm sure beyond from the state. So overall, from what I saw, very organized, first-class event. IU coaches pretty much at every court watching a lot of the games, whether it was head coach, assistant coach, someone on the support staff, but a very good event. There's no question about that. We'll talk some about that today and in the days moving forward because, again, a lot of names have kind of popped up on the radar, even some of the younger guys that we hadn't talked about over the last couple of days. So that's a look at a couple things we'll talk about. Let's jump into the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us on the program today, coming up in segment two, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. He will be with us for a chat about all things Indiana. I'm sure that the Lemonis to Mississippi State news will start our conversation. We'll talk some about the team camp as well. Then in the second segment, Jim Shannon, head coach of New Albany. He will join us for a summer update on his Bulldogs basketball program. We've had a lot of the area coaches on. Coach Shannon, one of the few remaining coaches we still want to get with, and we'll do that today to catch up on how life after Romeo and life after Sean East is going. His team was at Indiana over the weekend. I think they went 4-1 over the weekend, 1-1 on Saturday, and then came back on Sunday and went 3-0 in games. So we'll get a report from Bloomington and more from Jim Shannon of New Albany when he joins us, and then we'll wrap the show up today with Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSA Executive Board Member. He will stop in for his weekly chat on things here in Southern Indiana. That's a look at the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. You mentioned the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You get $1 off your box lunch. Again, that's at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at the some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Obviously, the big news overnight late into the evening yesterday, IU coach Chris Lemonis expected to be named the new baseball coach at Mississippi State. Strong recruiter is kind of some of the language you'll see describing Lemonis and the reason that he was chosen as the next baseball coach by Mississippi State, which is always a strong program in baseball. He finished his fourth season at Indiana. His career record is now 141 wins, 91 losses, two ties, and the Hoosiers this past season won 40 games, advanced to the NCAA regional. Indiana has advanced to three NCAA regionals during his tenure. Of course, he inherited a program from Tracy Smith that was fresh off a visit to the College World Series. So Lemonis leaving Indiana leaves some off-season chatter there on who will replace him as the baseball coach. Could it be someone on the current staff? Could it be someone that maybe from another program in Indiana? Could it be someone else in the college baseball world that we don't even know? But I think a lot of options there for Indiana. It's definitely a program that is looked at a lot differently than it was a number of years ago. So don't always get to a lot of baseball once the season is over with. But this is going to keep IU baseball out there now for the next couple weeks, if not longer, as they target a new basketball coach or baseball coach. A couple other headlines today. Indiana has a visit today. Brandon Newman, one of the core Indiana Junior All-Stars from way up in Valparaiso, he is on campus for an unofficial visit. His team was not one of the few teams with an IU target not participating in the team camp for whatever reason, but he will be there today to check out the campus. Scholarship offers from Ball State, Creighton, DePaul, Florida State, Kansas State, Valparaiso, and Xavier for Newman of Valparaiso. And again, an opportunity for him to kind of learn more about Indiana and for Indiana to learn more about him. The Hoosiers have not offered, to my knowledge, Newman at this point. The only 2019 offers going to Trace Jackson Davis, Keon Brooks, Armand Franklin, and then a player, Isaiah Stewart, from LaPorte La Lemire. So Newman on campus today. Other things, ESPN updated its 2019 national rankings last week. As far as Indiana targets go, and I think the last one that updated was maybe 24/7 Sports, we talked about the number of players Indiana had been involved with, was seriously involved with, that are ranked in this top 100 ranking. Isaiah Stewart, I just mentioned him, he's number 5. Matthew Hurt, number 6. Trace Jackson Davis, number 15. Trendon Watford, number 17. Keon Brooks, number 25. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players in the top 25 that Indiana is very much involved in their recruiting processes with. DJ Carton out in Iowa, he's at number 28. A couple other names that stand out in the top 100 that Indiana is involved with would be Kara Lewis and Zeke Ninjaji. I'm sure I mispronounced that name, but Anthony Harris as well. So just a number of guys in the top 100 that Archie Miller has the IU program very involved with at this point. Also, the ESPN released an early top 25 for the 2021 class. These are the first national rankings that I have seen for that class, and Fort Wayne Blackhawk Christian's Caleb First. He's the only Indiana guy on those rankings. He was number 21 out of the top 25 rankings, and obviously a player to watch. He and Newman were the two, I'd say, biggest names, obviously First being a young name, that IU just beginning that process with, as are a number of other schools. Newman, a little older, someone that Indiana's been tracking now for a while. Those were probably the two guys missing from the team camp as far as their teams being there, them being IU prospects. Just about everyone else, especially from the state of Indiana, was there for some games over the weekend. So that's a look at some headlines, a summary of the top news, IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Don't forget, you can Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill. It's where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, it's where fun happens. We'll head out to a commercial break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Also, again, Jim Shannon of New Albany will be with us later for a summer update on his program. And Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSA Executive Board Member, all coming your way in a loaded Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back here on this Monday edition of the Hoosier Report. A couple things before we get to Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Purdue did get a big commitment. Mason Gillis of Newcastle yesterday, an in-state player in the 2019 class. Indiana had not offered Gillis but was recruiting him. In fact, Gillis and his Newcastle team were playing on Saturday and maybe Sunday as well at the team camp that Archie Miller and staff had in Bloomington. So Purdue gets a commitment from the 2019 class from an in-state player in Mason Gillis of Newcastle. And our good friend of the station, Brad Kruer, sent me a reminder over the commercial break that Indiana Little League District 5 tournament starts tonight. It's at New Albany's New Park, right out Charlestown Road behind Northside Christian Park. The 10, 11, and 12-year-olds, of course, those are the divisions that have the opportunity to advance on to the state tournament. And then, of course, those 12-year-olds, they have the opportunity to play in the Great Lakes Regional if you win the state tournament and represent Indiana. And if you win the regional, represent the Great Lakes at the Little League World Series out in Williamsport. So that all gets underway tonight. We'll have some of the championship games coming up here a few weeks down the line. Let's go to Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, who is with us on Mondays to talk all things IU. And I tell you what, Zach, you know, we've talked a lot of off-season basketball. I plan to talk a lot of team camp from over the weekend that Archie Miller had. A ton of prospects on campus playing with their high school teams. I didn't know that we'd start our conversation off today talking about Chris Lemonis being reported as the next baseball coach at Mississippi State, leaving Indiana.
No, neither did I. That I think that surprised a lot of us late last night. And, you know, I followed the Mississippi State search loosely, funnily enough, because, you know, as a reporter, you just kind of try to stay apprised of what might happen and dominoes that might fall. And I think there was some concern from Indiana's perspective that if Mississippi State hired Dan McDonald away from Louisville, then Louisville might come calling for Chris Lemonis. I don't know that people as much saw Lemonis, you know, going direct to Mississippi State, but now Indiana winds up in the same position where they need a new head coach again.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, let me ask you, Lemonis in his departure for Mississippi State, the opening that that obviously creates for Indiana to be filled, is this a possibility that someone from the existing staff has worked their way up the totem pole to be in line for a job, or do you think it's more likely that Indiana goes and looks for someone that's already a head college baseball coach currently, at least, at another program?
I would say the last point, I mean, it's obviously very early. I don't think Indiana's got, you know, four interviews lined up or anything like that. So I wouldn't rule out the idea that one of Lemonis' assistants could stay. But my impression is Indiana would like to be more aggressive with the job than that. You know, I mean, and a lot of it's kind of speculative at this point. Again, I don't think Indiana's been sitting down with anybody. But I think Indiana, I mean, look, Indiana paid Chris Lemonis over $500,000 a year. They spent over $750,000 on salaries for his assistants and support staff. And I think they'd probably prefer to avoid this situation happening again in 4 or 5 years. So I wouldn't be terribly surprised, or at least I very much think that what Indiana should do is kick the financial commitment up another level and see if they can't go make a really significant hire. Who that is, again, I would probably be mostly speculating, but I think they want to be external, and I think they want to be aggressive about it right now.
Zach, I have to believe that with Lemonis and then, of course, Tracy Smith before him, the success that the program has seen, being consistently in the winning side of things, that starting this search for Indiana and getting big time, maybe not big time, but getting credible coaches, credible up-and-coming coaches, whatever path Indiana may take, is going to be a lot easier to get those type of guys interested in what IU baseball and that job has to offer.
Yeah, you know, I think that I have this theory that I'm never going to invest the time and energy in proving or disproving that the money that has gone into college athletics in the last, 10 years and the way it has ballooned and expanded has made it, has kind of upset the apple cart in terms of hiring for non-revenue sports, because all of a sudden the hierarchy in the non-revenue sports has been changed by how much money schools can pay really, really successful coaches. So you look at Dan McDonnell as an example. Dan McDonnell reportedly basically turned down not just Mississippi State, but he's turned down a number of big-time jobs to stay at Louisville. And he makes, I believe, over $1 million at this point. And he gets, I'm guessing he gets something commensurate to pay his assistants as well, which means he's getting top-notch assistants and support staff. And so what happens is, suddenly, a guy like Dan McDonnell can stay at Louisville. He can accomplish all of what he wants, both competitively and financially at Louisville, and maybe not have to go to a job with the microscope and the pressure of a Texas or, to use the recent Indiana examples, an Arizona State, a Mississippi State. Now, Indiana pays better than just about any other Big Ten program. There's only one or two others that if you combine head coaches' salaries, assistant coaches' salaries, all those sorts of things, spend at the level Indiana spends. But you look at the last 10 years now, Indiana has, if I'm not mistaken, still the most Big Ten wins of any school in the conference in that stretch. Indiana has been to 6 NCAA tournaments. Indiana has played to 2 or 3 regional finals, won a super, and been to the College World Series, and in that stretch put a bunch of players in the minors and even a few in the major leagues. I think Indiana at this point can justify taking its spending up to a level where, number one, you could hire somebody that would really turn heads. You know, I mean, I'm genuinely just throwing a name out there as an example, but Dan Heathner, who's been to 8 NCAA regionals and 11 seasons at Dallas Baptist, and then also pay that person enough money that it would be a lot easier for them to say no if a Mississippi State came calling. And I think, I mean, that's kind of really sort of, I think, the decision in front of Fred Glass right now is, if he wants to go pay similar to what he was paying Chris Lemonis, and he wants to be competitive at that level, he'll get another good coach. There's no question about that. But if he wants to kick it up another level, he might get a great coach, and he might get a great coach that is willing to stay at Indiana for 10 years or 15 years, and it would be a lot easier for that coach to say no to a really, really big job in the way that we've seen McDonald, Schlossnagel, some of these guys say, no, I'm good where I am.
Zach Ostrom, an Indianapolis Star. We're talking about Chris Lemonis leaving as IU baseball coach, heading to Mississippi State. News that broke late last night. Will be very interesting to see how the hiring process moves forward and, of course, ultimately who the Hoosiers land. Switching gears a bit, I do want to talk about Archie Miller's team camp over the weekend. So many prospects were there. Last year was the first summer off season, obviously, for Archie and his staff. They were able to get a good camp together kind of last second. A number of prospects that Indiana ended up landing were at that camp. It was a big weekend as far as getting some up-close and personal time with those players. And this year, twofold. There's so many different players from the state of Indiana and beyond, some great high school teams. It's clear Archie still has really good connections back to Ohio, some other Midwestern teams in, along with just an outstanding lineup, maybe the single best collection that I'm aware of Indiana teams, high school teams, this summer, this month, when the teams play together. And I tell you what, it sounds like maybe the high school period in June, when the teams can play together, may get even more important in the future with the NCAA as far as the recruiting periods go. I know there was a report out over the weekend that said, hey, open gyms and high school activities in May and June could now be, or at least a portion of those, be open to college coaches, even if it's at a college campus. So interesting that that's kind of going on in the background as a great field of talent was on display this weekend at Indiana. And I just, from an outsider perspective, it's hard to believe, just looking at what happened a year ago, it's hard to believe that this team camp, these past couple days on IU's campus, won't go on to pay big dividends once again for the IU staff.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the thing that I really kind of, that grabs me that you hit on there is how important it seems like events like this might become soon, that the way that they're overhauling – or trying to overhaul, I guess I should say, basketball recruiting and spring and summer basketball in particular. And it seems like there is a renewed emphasis on trying to bring high school coaches back into the process and maybe de-emphasize AAU a little bit. And look, we can have a completely separate conversation about whether or not that's the right thing to do or whether it will work one way or the other. If you're Indiana, establishing a camp, you know, not just, obviously, look, anybody can organize one of these camps, but establishing the idea that you get, you know, those elite prospects and their high school teams to this camp every year, it puts you on the map in a way that might become, I mean, it's already valuable when Trace Jackson Davis can just come down to Bloomington and hang out for a couple days because he's there for a team camp with Center Grove or Armand Franklin with Cathedral or whomever. But it all of a sudden kind of kicks it up even another level if these kinds of events become even more important. So in the micro sense, you're right. It was very lucrative for Indiana last season. Jerome Hunter was there. Robert Finnessy was there. I don't believe South Bend Riley played in team camp, but if memory serves, Demazie Anderson visited that weekend. So, you know, there's 60% of your 2018 signing class all on campus that weekend. This season, I mentioned Franklin. You know, there was Jackson Davis. There were some younger players like the newest Blackman, and Marion was there, and Hamilton Southeastern was there. Brownsburg was there. But there's also maybe the larger, longer-term implication of saying, you know, IU's team camp, Archie Miller's team camp, that's one of those that coaches around the state and maybe even the area, you know, just beyond Indiana's borders, are kind of marking those dates in red every year and saying, we want to be there. We want to be there for this one, and we want to be there for this one. And all of a sudden, maybe there's greater recruiting agency for those events, and it just it keeps things healthier for IU long term.
Trace Jackson Davis was in attendance playing with his Center Grove team. He's missed some of the month because of USA Basketball, the under-18 FIBA tournament up in Canada that he was part of. The team would go on to win a gold medal. I think that was a week and a half ago. But he's there playing, and in between games, he's watching other games, watching other potential maybe teammates at Indiana play on other courts in the future. But, you know, one thing that caught my eye, he's joking around with Romeo Lankford, who was there on and off working the score table just like the other players. He's budding up with some of the other IU coaches and players in attendance. So just a real good feel, again, from someone that's just kind of watching things unfold, that if you're an IU fan and you know that Trace Jackson Davis and his team are on your campus for the weekend, and you know that while he's on campus, he's budding up with the IU players and the coaching staff, having a great opportunity to talk with him. And it's very clear just watching him interact, not just the coaches, but the players as well, that they have quite a relationship built. It makes you feel like Indiana might be in a good spot with some of these 2019 guys moving forward here once we get through the month of July.
And Jackson Davis in particular has been, you know, he's been one of Indiana's primary targets basically since Archie Miller showed up. He visited multiple times last season. He was at Hoosier Hysteria last year. He's already said he plans to take his official visit to IU for Hoosier Hysteria this year. And you're right. I mean, he spent time with Romeo. I saw him spending time with Jake Forrester as well, who's an incoming freshman in Indiana, and you just get a sense that there's a comfort level, you know, between in talking to him and in seeing those interactions with Jackson Davis and IU. Now, that doesn't guarantee you anything, obviously, and, you know, he made it pretty clear when we talked to him that his plan right now is to take his officials, all of his officials, and then make a decision after. He said he's not even going to cut his list until after July because he wants to see who else might come in. I guess North Carolina was just in touch over the weekend. He's already got officials lined up to UCLA, Michigan State, and then that one for Hoosier Hysteria to IU. So he's clearly thinking, you know, how he wants to make his decision and when he wants to make his decision, but it also sounds like he's not going to rush it. But if you're Indiana, I think you feel really good about the position you've put yourself in with Trace Jackson Davis, at least on, what is this, June 25th.
Zach Hostrom, an Indianapolis Star, with us Mondays to talk IU basketball, a little IU baseball today, and more. Zach, always fun to catch up. Thanks for taking time out to join us, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as ever.
All right, we'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with New Albany coach Jim Shannon, our summer preview, way too early preview of high school basketball continues today with the New Albany coach, his team at the team camp that Zach and I were just talking about. We'll find out how they did and talk about what Coach Shannon is learning about his team without Romeo, without Sean East for the 2018-19 season, coming up in the next segment right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday edition of the program. Our way too early look at the 2018-19 high school basketball season continues today with New Albany coach Jim Shannon. And we're approaching the final days that coaches are allowed until a dead period next week, the opportunity to practice and work with their teams, go to shootouts, play in summer league contests. And Coach Shannon, I know you've had a good month. Tell us what the Bulldogs have been up to this summer.
Yeah, it's been a great summer, Matt. I'm driving through a rainstorm right now, but been a great summer. Kids have gotten a lot better. Saw a lot of improvement out of really every single kid that's been involved in the program. Had a great time at Indiana's team camp over the weekend. We're able to play five games, and prior to that, of course, we were playing in the Kentuckiana League that we host at New Albany, along with the couple other schools, and that went really well. Played a lot of teams from Kentucky and had a lot of success. And again, kids are just getting better. Month of June is for that. July is pretty much the time that they spend with their AAU teams. They'll get in the gym a little bit, but for the most part, that's their time away from their high school team and kind of get some vacation time in and do some other things besides basketball, perhaps, as they get ready to enter their next year of high school academics as we get ready to go into another year around July 24th or 5th there.
Talking with New Albany coach Jim Shannon. Coach, let's follow up on what you said about IU, the team yesterday and Saturday at Archie Miller's team camp. I think record 4-1 for the weekend. You got a chance to play some different teams. As a high school coach and as a high school coach that just had his key player go on to Indiana, how big of a deal is it for Archie Miller and his staff to have all of these teams, all of these prospects on their campus for a weekend and get a chance to get to know coaches better, get a chance to for the players to interact with campus life maybe a little bit more than what they would, especially the younger prospects out there that haven't set up any visits yet?
Well, I think the most important thing that Coach Miller and the Indiana staff is really trying to do is establish relationships. Of course, they're trying to get great players. They want the Romeo Langfords of the world. That's how you build success. I mean, talent is, in my opinion, most important thing when it comes to recruiting. If you don't have talent, you probably don't have a chance to win. Right along with talent, I think character is really important also. If you can combine those two, and obviously they already have the academics, so they couldn't get into the school. So if you have those two combined with the academics, then that's what you're looking for. But by and large, when you go to these types of things, you're only talking about a handful of kids out of all the teams that were there. And I don't know how many there were, but there were a lot. But out of all the teams that were there and played, you know, not everybody had a player that could play at Indiana University or any other high-level Division I program. So what you're doing is you're building relationships with coaches. You're building relationships with kids all across Indiana and perhaps neighboring states, obviously. And you're building relationships with families because they get to come in, and if they want to, they watch their kids play. And people were taking pictures and, you know, that kind of thing. So I think it's really important that from a public relations standpoint that Indiana University is doing team camps and, you know, having these kids come in, again, to build rapport not only with the big name players, the ones that they're actually wanting to recruit to play for them, but also kids in general who just have a great experience and get an opportunity to see those types of coaches, you know, really close and personal, see the Indiana players. And, you know, like I said, for us, we know Romeo. So obviously, for our kids, it may not be as big a deal to them because there's like buddies with him. But, you know, for the most part, it's not like that for everybody. So there were kids from other teams that, you know, were really fascinated by seeing Roe, and not just Romeo. I mean, there's other kids there they wanted to see too. So, I mean, the whole thing was excellent. It was well-planned, well-organized. There's good competition. They made good use of the courts in both Cook and Assembly Hall and at Bloomington South. So, feel very fortunate that we were able to go. I wish Julian Hunter would have played with us. Julian's been down a little bit. He had a little bit of a fainting spell at Wright State a week ago today. And, you know, with that, anytime you kind of have that kind of incident, you want to get it all checked out. So his family was able to get him to a cardiologist just to make sure there wasn't anything wrong. And finally this morning, a week later, we got the test results back, and everything is fine. Julian's fine. He checked out okay. It was just a situation where he got lightheaded from a sugar level, and so it's all clear. So we're so, so thankful that Julian's going to be okay. So he'll be back playing with us tomorrow.
Jim Shannon of New Albany, our guest. Obviously, a big summer for the team. It's informal. There aren't a lot of fans at most of the games. It's an opportunity, really, to dig in and do some of the most basic work with your team. And I have to believe that this is maybe one of the most important June months that you've spent with your New Albany team, 20 years as the coach of the program, because finding a way to replace Romeo Langford and Sean East, all the shots, all the possessions that they had, the basketball in their hands for the most part. The summer months allow a lot of reps. They allow your kids that maybe were in the starting lineup or coming off the bench to find out exactly how they will fit in. And, you know, someone's got to shoot the ball. A lot of players have to shoot the ball, you would think, more than what they did last year. And I would have to guess the summertime's a good time to experiment with who's going to do just what for your team next season.
Well, there's no question about that. You know, a lot of these kids that have been playing along with Romeo and Sean, you know, they want to step up. They want to step up to the plate. They want to be the go-to guys, so to speak. And so while they love playing with those kids, I think they relish, you know, having the spotlight on them now to where they're going to have to put up the points. They're going to have to, you know, lead the team in rebounds. They're going to have to get us to the, you know, to the sectional championship. They're going to have to get us on the tournament trail. They're going to have to, you know, win us a conference championship. You know, all the things we've been able to do that we've been so successful in the last 4 or 5 years, and really successful for a long, long time. It just hasn't been for 4 or 5 years. But we've been ultra successful, let's put it that way, and being able to be on ESPN a couple times and win 100 games and lose 10. In conference four out of the last 5 years, and five sectionals in a row. And, you know, to be able to do all that kind of puts pressure on the next group. But I think that they, like I said, I think they're welcoming that. I think that, you know, they were role players the last year or two. And I think that, you know, like all kids, they can be a go-to guy and not necessarily a role player. They welcome that. So I've told them many a times, and usually when we're not playing very well, I've reminded them that be careful what you ask for, because it's your turn to step up now. And, you know, sometimes Romeo and Sean made that easy for us with what they were able to do on the court. But been very, very, very pleased with how our kids are regrouping and getting their own identity and battling. It's going to be a total team effort for this team. There's no question about that. We're no longer running an offense through anybody. We're just trying to get a good shot, and, you know, if a kid can get a shot that's in his range, then he's going to take it. So our shot distribution will be you know, balanced out a lot more than what it has been in the past. And I'm sure for the kids that's good news. But when you have a player like Romeo, you're going to go to him as much as possible. It would just be crazy not to. And so that's what we did. But now we're looking at, you know, we're looking at gang rebounding, you know, where we send everybody in to get the rebound. We're looking at working for a good shot, whether it be a post-up shot inside or after moving the ball inside out and around the perimeter and reversing it. Maybe it'll end up being a nice three, but we're not looking just to come down and turn it over to Romeo and let him go. So we don't have that anymore. But like I said, it's a new challenge. It's been fun. And we feel like the kids have really responded to the new challenge, and we're going to surprise some people.
Jim Shannon of New Albany, our guest. Along those same lines, who so far this month, and I know you still have a little activity left, some practices and the opportunity to go to a shootout in Whiteland just south of Indianapolis later this week before the dead period comes upon you, but who has begun to maybe step up in leadership roles and fill in the void for some of the shots and some of the scoring that you're looking to replace?
Well, I think Derek Stevenson has really stepped up for us. I mean, he has improved so much. You know, he's leading us in scoring, no question about that. He's the guy. He's probably, from the perimeter standpoint, he's a go-to guy, no question. He's always been our defensive stopper, and now I have to remind him, just because, you know, you've become – one of our biggest offensive weapons doesn't mean that you're going to let up on defense. So, you know, we're kind of battling through that right now to make sure that he understands we need him on both ends. And he, by and large, he's doing that. Trey Hurrigan's had an outstanding summer. He just keeps getting better and better and better. He's able to score inside. He's able to shoot the three from the perimeter. He's taking it off the bounce a lot better. Of course, Julian. He's continuing to improve. You know, playing without him this last week was really difficult for us. I mean, we were able to be successful, but nonetheless, it was difficult for us when we came up against a team or two that was a solid top 10 team in the state. We had a little bit of trouble not having Julian Hunter in there because he's so athletic and he can battle those kinds of teams that have those kinds of athletes that are big inside, you know, quick to rebound and quick off their feet and jump high. He's able to do that. So, you know, we were hurt a little bit by him not being there, but boy, you know, up until he got a little bit sick last week, he was playing great. So I've been really pleased. Those should be our, you know, our top three players. Those three kids started last year, and along with Roe and Sean. So, you know, those should be the ones that step up, and they have been. Chris Johnson, another senior, has stepped up for us and playing really well. Landon Sprigler is playing great. He's running the point for us basically, and you know, he's getting used to that. He's able to penetrate and find people. He's really an excellent passer and pretty quick and working on his shot and getting to the free throw line. And so I've been really pleased with his effort. His defense is getting better. So he'll be a senior along with Chris and Derek. And, you know, those are going to be the guys that have to lead the team. I mean, they're going to have to step up. So I've been really pleased with them. I know I'll probably leave some kids out. Obviously, we always do, but you know, we've just had some really good play out of a lot of different kids and just really been pleased with how they've come together and how they've shown up for everything and been on time and just getting a lot of things done. We've got a freshman, Caden Stanton, that's played with the junior varsity quite a bit and now has been playing with the varsity this last week and is a very talented freshman that, you know, I'm sure – before too long, we'll probably be seeing some varsity time.
Jim Shannon, New Albany's coach, with us for a summer update on the Bulldogs. His team fresh off a two-day trip to Bloomington and have one more day of games, at least, at Whiteland coming up later this week on Wednesday. And then it's a wrap for the summer. Coach Shannon, thanks for the preview. We'll continue to talk about your Bulldogs and next season, I'm sure, a few times between now and the tip of the 2018-19 season, and we appreciate all the information.
Appreciate you having me, and I don't want to leave out Jordan Thomas. Old Windex has been up there cleaning the boards off, getting rebounds, and he's only a sophomore, and he's probably 6'6", pushing 6'7", and he's having a great summer, so I didn't want to forget him. And there'll be others, you know. There's other kids I didn't mention that'll be coming along, but been really pleased with them, and it's great to see Romeo yesterday in Indiana. He's doing great for all our fans out there. I spoke to him, and he's just absolutely loving it right now. So he looked bigger already. So he looked a little taller, and I know he looked a lot stronger. So So proud of him. But thanks a lot, Matt.
All right, Coach Shannon of New Albany. We'll head to our final commercial break. Come back with Chad Gilbert for our weekly chat on Southern Indiana sports next, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, final segment on this Monday program. We're joined by Chad Gilbert. He's the athletic director at Charlestown High School and a member of the IHSAA Executive Board. Chad, you know, the month of June is getting ready to come to a close as far as the high school ball that can be played this month. We just had Jim Shannon, the coach of New Albany, on in the last segment. Now we'll get ready for a big month of college coaches on the road for the July recruiting period, where the players return to their travel teams, a lot of them playing in the shoe circuits, which will be very well attended by the big-time coaches across the country. But a story out over the weekend, a report that pretty interesting, some possible rule changes that are being presented now by the Coaches Association to the Commission on College Basketball, the NCAA, and others, that instead of opening up all the AAU and shoe circuit tournaments in the month of July, maybe things should be reversed a bit and open gyms in May and high school summer league games for New Albany and Jeffersonville and that type of environment. Maybe that's what should be open for college coaches to attend more so than the shoe circuit events. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, Matt, change is good. And one thing, you know, it sounded like yesterday, or Saturday and Sunday at Indiana, there were a lot of teams up there. It was a who's who of teams that were playing at Bloomington. And that sounds good. But did you hear Coach Shannon's voice? He's worn out. We have got to do something for these coaches. You know, it's wearing coaches out. It's wearing players out. And this is something at our state level that we need to do something to help these guys out. I mean, I feel bad for those guys that are out there. I feel real bad while I'm laying in by the pool and they're out there. About as bad as they feel for me when I'm getting officials ready for spring sports and they're getting ready for the state tournament. I understand that one. But my gosh, those guys are working themselves to death. I hope kids appreciate it. I hope parents appreciate it. And I hope it makes their teams better. I'm not sure if it does, but it is what it is. And hopefully something we can come to relieve a little bit of this on these coaches, you know, because that's really hard. That's really hard. But to address your question, you know, my understanding on that, you know, I'll just give you the Reader's Digest notes that I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong on this one. They are still going to have their travel teams during the month of April, during the spring evaluation. Is that correct?
Yes. They still, according to this report out, they would have two weekends where if they're playing for a Nike-sponsored or an Adidas-sponsored team in one of these great talent-loaded circuits, the coaches would be able to come out twice in April but not in July, which for years and years in some form or fashion has been the ultimate month as far as the recruiting part of kids' games and things go.
Well, you know, to go back through that one, I think having the kids in April, that kind of piggybacks off their season, gives them a little time to relax. But then they're right back in on the circuit, which they'll get out and go and be evaluated and be seen. Then they come back in June and they work out with their high school kids. Now, the way it is now, then the college coaches will be allowed to go to high school events or and evaluate the kids. Regional camps in July, correct? And then
yes,
that will coaches will be able to decide which kids they want to see at these camps. And that, when I say coaches, the college coaches, and almost like the old ABCD camps. Then they'll have a elite camp at the end for the top 100 players or whatever else, which to me, that puts a little bit more on the high school coaches. I think high school coaches would like to see that. The drawback is, you know, there's no, if you're a basketball player that plays baseball or a baseball player that plays basketball, do you want to be out and seen? That's going to be kind of hard, and that's going to be really important in April to be out and get on some radars. So there, you know, with everything, you know, being on the IHSA board, you see everything there is. It's a double-edged sword. You try to cure one thing and one problem, you create another. And that's what will happen with this. There's no perfect answer, no perfect solution. But, you know, I think things are going in the right track on it. it gives kids an opportunity to be seen, and I think that's what it, the object is. Now, one thing that may really benefit from this is prep schools. You know, if you're a top kid, now you're going to have a lot of evaluation period. You know, coaches will be able to just go, it's one-stop shop at a prep school. They won't come to school A to see one kid and drive 100 miles to see school B, or 100 miles to another school to see kid B. All these kids will be at a prep school. Now, I don't know how much that would hurt the lower-level D1 kids, the D2, D3 kids, but maybe your elite kids, that may be something where they try to get super teams. But, you know, with that, there's going to be problems that occur with that, too. You know, there's only one ball, and there's only five starters. So if you put all those kids on one team, unless you just continue to get prep schools, which I think there's more to that than meets the eye. I'm not real well-versed on that at this point. But, you know, there's going to be some issues.
Chad Gilbert joining us. Chad is with us Mondays talking Southern Indiana sports. I do think, Chad, that this is a conversation worthy of extending in the future, and I think it's something that will develop and potentially change, just like anything new. But I do appreciate any type of effort that maybe makes the high school coach a little bit more important in the recruiting process, because I think just a little more of a wholesome deal with some of the things that have happened recently as far as the landscape of the shoe-oriented basketball goes.
No, absolutely. You know, anytime you can get high school coaches involved with stuff, it works out great. But don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good AAU guys out there who do it for the right reason, who try to get help kids. And that's what, you know, that's what everybody's in this thing for, is to help kids and let them reach their potential and have an opportunity to use basketball to further their education. And if, you know, if you can do that, you've accomplished something. You know, there's always a few bad guys that are in it for themselves, and that stuff happens. Unfortunately, those are the guys that get the most publicity. But, you know, if we can help kids and we can help them use basketball as an opportunity to further their education and make something positive out of it, I think everybody in it is a winner.
Chad Gilbert, my guest. Chad, final question here as we close out for today. A high school athletic director, a very, very busy job. You're finally through the high school sports seasons into the summer months, but really just weeks away from the football season, so the effort never really stops.
Oh, you know, football is the trickiest sport, Matt, there is. You've got to get crews 5 years out because there's not many football crews available. And, you know, with basketball, sometimes teams play on a Tuesday night, sometimes they play on a Friday, sometimes they play on a Saturday, sometimes they play on a Saturday morning. You can use multiple crews on multiple nights. In football, everybody plays on Friday nights, and the amount of referees, umpires, line judges, whatever else you have are getting smaller and smaller, and so that means you've got to really be on top of your game and get officials 5 years out, or you won't have an official on Friday night. One thing, you know, that could have come with this, you may see more Saturday games come down the pipe on this one, and a challenge for athletic directors. There may be guys, you have an official crew coming in 5 years from now. You know, the lead may switch to another crew. Another guy may move. A guy may die. A guy may just decide to hang it up altogether. And those have all happened to me in my 6 years up here. And that's something that you really got to be on your toes. And football is the trickiest sport of all to make sure you're on top of your game.
Chad Gilbert, IHSA Executive Board Member, Charlestown Athletic Director. Chad, as always, thanks for the chat. We'll catch up more next week and look forward to talking with you then.
Matt, thanks for the run. I appreciate everything you do for Southern Indiana.
All right, Chad Gilbert with us Mondays. Always fun to go through the latest in Southern Indiana. And, of course, a lot of basketball with Chad, a former coach in the area, a former great player in the area. And that's just going to about do it for us here on this Monday show. Busy week. You can catch us every day, 11 a.m., right here on the Hoosier Report. Don't forget, if you missed the show, you missed a specific segment, you want to go back and hear something, you can podcast us at soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report or search the Hoosier Report on Apple Podcasts. That'll do it for this Monday show. Back tomorrow on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.